أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي صلوات على محمد وآل محمد So brothers and sisters, welcome to day 6 of our series, our Nabi Allah Lut series. Today the topic is going to be dealing with, or our, we'll call it this one. We'll call it constructive strategies for new situations. So we have to discuss two types of strategies. Our first strategy are for people who are penitent, people who are struggling with this issue. They may come to us, you and I, they need help, they need assistance. They're hiding what they're struggling with, but they're going through a hard time. Or maybe they're just confused. Because of the propaganda that's out there, the person is confused. So that's one part of our strategy. What are we supposed to do with those believers? How do we help them? Also, even when it comes to non-Muslims, some of them are also, again, confused. I'll share a little bit more about that later. So what's our strategy with those individuals? And then what is our strategy with those who want to impose this on Islam? Those who are militant about this, those who want to actually bring others the same way, the same deviant way that they are, they want to bring others there. Walaikum as-salam wa rahmatullah. That's a different strategy. I remember hearing a quote once from Malcolm X. I like the quote. It's not exactly for this thing, but it's a nice quote. Once, Malcolm X was talking about the civil rights movement. And as you know, in America, at one time, the strategy was only peaceful protests. Turn the other cheek. So what Malcolm X was trying to explain was that sometimes our strategy is different. It's not always that we're rahmatan lil alameen. So he said this. He said that be polite, be courteous, be respectful to everybody, obey the law. He said, but if they try to put their hands on you, you send them to the cemetery. So the strategy differs. It's not the same. If someone's militant, if someone's trying to promote, someone's going to impose, because we're the last man standing. If someone wants to impose on Islam, to break us, as they've broken other major religions, our strategy is going to change. And we need to understand what our strategy is for both. Now, what happens is, so we have a two-part, or a dilemma. From one part, we want to save as many people as we can, Muslim and non-Muslim. And we know that even amongst non-Muslims, even amongst those who were gay activists, even amongst those who were gay activists, they came back to God, non-Muslims, came back to God, got married, were able to save themselves. People are confused. So from one side, you and I know our responsibility, like Nabi Lut, is to save as many people as we can. We don't want people to go to Jahannam. On the other side, we also have to worry about those who are promoting another agenda. Because they're using a couple of things as their weapons. One of the weapons being used is sympathy, to feel bad for them. Another weapon that's being used is friendship. Being friends in some cases is incorrect, right? So, and it's sad, like, the thing is there's confusion, right? Sometimes you'll find Muslim sisters. They've said this, that I feel safer with a gay guy. I know I'm not supposed to be friends with guys, but when it's a gay guy, I don't feel like there's a threat. Right? A regular guy. So what does Islam say? We have to be, what, we're looking for Islam. There's some people who go further than that. A big mistake that happens. Some people, when somebody comes out and says, I'm gay, Instead of the person warning them, trying to save them, they congratulate them on how brave they are. That's very scary. Some people, and it's very unfortunate, even with some of our sisters, they've gone so far as to go to a pride parade in the hijab, the flag of Islam in a pride parade. People need to be very worried. We're going to talk about this more when we talk about the wife of Nabi Lut. No one wants to be raised with the wife of Nabi Lut. She was okay with it. And we have to spend time. One section of the ayat of the Quran in this story are devoted to the wife of Nabi Lut. So we have to find out what her story is. But just now, just for us to at least keep in mind, Islam is very serious when it comes to where our hearts are. The hadith says this: Ar-radhi bifi'li qawmin. If somebody is okay with something that somebody does, Ar-radhi bifi'li qawmin, from Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, Kaddakhil fihim. This person is just like the person who committed the sin. The other person went against God. What was my challenge? I was okay with it. I told them, you were brave. Remember this story? We haven't covered this story yet, but if brothers and sisters remember from their Quranic studies, the Qawm of Thamud, the Qawm of Nabi Saleh. The Quran talks about the Qawm of Nabi Saleh. Brothers and sisters, this is a verse from Surah Shams. I'd like us to pay attention to the Arabic of it to get the point and then move on. So this is verse number 14, Surah number 91, verse number 14. This is what the Quran says. فَكَذَّبُوهُ. The whole Qawm, the Qawm of Thamud, they did takdhib. They rejected our Prophet. They rejected Nabi Saleh. Then after that, what happened? It says, فَأَقَرُوهَا. The camel of Nabi Saleh, one man went over and he hamstrung the camel. The Quran doesn't say one man. فَأَقَرُوهَا. They slaughtered. They hamstrung the camel. They. Why they? They were okay. They liked it. They thought it was all right. When they did that, what did God say? The remainder of the verse. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ. Their Lord destroyed them. وَسْفَسَوَّاهَا. He leveled their city. God takes it very serious. If my heart is okay with an action, I don't think it's wrong. That to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counts. Why is it you and I get so much reward for remembering Imam Hussein? If even one tear comes out during the Masaib, why are we getting all that reward? Our hearts are with Hussein. We're separated by time. We couldn't be there. Otherwise, our hearts are bleeding for him. So it's the same principle. Now, there's another one too that, let me just share this also. The idea of sometimes people go over and they say, well, gay rights. Gay rights. We don't believe it's a right. We covered this in the verses of the Holy Quran. The Quran said it was dhulm, right? Surah 9, verse number 7, it says, وَالْمُؤْتَفِكَاتِ. So those overthrown towns, أَتَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. The messengers came to them with clear proofs. فَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ. Allah was not such to do dhulm to them. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. They were ظالمين. They oppressed themselves. So it's dhulm. It's oppression. It's aggression. It's not a right. I'll give you another example. In Toronto, not too long ago, they made a rule. The rule was that small grocery stores, mom and pop stores, they would be able to sell alcohol. Going to be able to sell alcohol. So let's say you and I came across a grocery store that was madloom. They won't let it sell alcohol. Will we be outside the store laying down wreaths, wearing rainbow hijabs? No. That's oppression. We stand against that. We have our principles. This is dhulm from an Islamic point of view. So now, having said that, brothers and sisters, tonight's discussion is a two-part discussion. We're going to see how much of it I'm able to cover so that, inshallah, we can make it to the Masa'ib. I might not be able to cover all of it today. We'll cover as much as we can. The first part of it, so it's a two-part strategy. We haven't forgotten the topic. The topic is, how did Nabi Lut, what was his strategy? How did it differ with the two sets of people? Some of them militant. What about when Nabi Lut had hope? Before we cover that, another part of the verses of the Quran is this. The general, overall strategy, the core message of Nabi Lut. What was that? And then now, also when he's facing those people, what was his strategy? So now we'll start with the core message of Nabi Lut. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The core message of Nabi Lut, and I'm going to quote the verse of Quran where God quotes Nabi Lut verbatim. What we're going to find is that his words are exactly the same as many other anbiya. This was the motto of the anbiya. All anbiya would preach like this. What was the words? So this is Surah 26 and verse number 163 is where I'm going to quote Nabi Lut. But Allah quotes Nabi Nuh. He quotes Nabi Hud, Nabi Salih, Nabi Shu'aib, all of them saying the exact same thing verbatim. So what was the core message of Nabi Lut? This is what he says. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَعَتِيعُونَ. Obey Allah, have taqwa of Allah, fear God, see yourself as being in his presence, be wary of God, and obey me. Obey me. Wilaya. The core message of all prophets, not just our prophet, not just Ahlul Bayt and A'imma. All prophets, the core message is wilaya. Have taqwa of Allah and obey that divine leader, the person who God has chosen. That's the only person you can obey. And Nabi Lut, he went over and he said that, like everybody else. And this is that message that you see that it's so important that Imam Hussein says, repeating the same message, and let's understand it a little bit. The Imam says this. He says, "Wa alal Islam as-salam." Islam itself will be lost if qad buliyatil ummah bira'in mithli Yazid. If the ummah is afflicted with a leader like Yazid, not that Yazid, a leader like Yazid. The system of Yazid. So the teachings of all Anbiya, and we need to talk about why this and why this with these particular people. But the message of all prophets was the idea of wilaya. I am your wali. You have to obey me. Have taqwa of Allah. If you believe in God, obey me. Why was that so important? Brothers and sisters, we'll come to that a little bit later, but you and I have to keep this in mind. What is the Quranic definition of shirk? What's the Quran say about shirk, so associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This message was so important that the Ahlul Bayt, this is the reason why the Ahlul Bayt would be martyred. There's a story that once Imam al-Kadhim, he was in the presence of Harun al-Rashid. So Harun al-Rashid, he told him, he said that, I want to give Fadak back. That land what was taken away from Ahlul Bayt, I want to give that back to you. So the Imam said, no, you have it, that's okay. He said, no, I have to give it back to you. He said, no, brother, keep. He knows it's a political stunt. He insisted, by the right of your grandfather. He said, look, if you're going to insist, the only way I will take Fadak back is if you give me Fadak with the original borders of Fadak. So Harun's like, how big was Fadak? Oh, I'll give it to you. Some area in there. So the Imam said, okay. One of the borders of Fadak is Samarkand, one edge of the Islamic Empire. The other edge of Fadak is Africa. Harun's face started to change colors when the Imam starts to describe it. He said, the other edge of Fadak is Yemen. And the other, by the time he finished describing Fadak with the original borders, Harun al-Rashid looked at him. He said, why don't you just take my throne then? The Imam said, I knew if I described it with the original borders, you wouldn't give it back to me. And Harun, right there, he said, I have to kill the Imam. The Ahlul Bayt were uncompromising. The right to rule only belongs to God's awliya. God's awliya. And actually, what you find from our ahadith is that this issue is the core issue that causes people to deviate. The real problem, the real issue. Look at the hadith. The Ahlul Bayt say this. This is Imam Sadiq. Nahnu aslul khair. We, Ahlul Bayt, the wilaya of Ahlul Bayt, is the root of all goodness. He says, wa furu'uhu ta'atullah. The branches of that goodness are the other acts of worship. Those are good. But what's the core message? Wilaya. And then he says this, wa aduuna aslu shar. Our enemy is the person who has usurped the wilaya of Ahlul Bayt. Usurped the wilaya of God is the root of all wickedness. And all other sins are the branches of ma'siyatullah. So the core issue, the Imam did, the Prophet Nabi Lut didn't mince words and he didn't mix it up. He didn't say this is more important than the core issue itself. The core issue is that wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is one of those major branches. So back to summarize this point properly, the point that mankind needs to learn before the Imam returns is this. What is tawheed in Islam? What is tawheed according to the Quran? When we say someone is a monotheist, what do I have to do to be considered a monotheist? Is it enough that I don't worship stone idols? Only those who worship stone idols or worship other human beings, they're mushrikeen. They're worshiping, they're saying Jesus is God. Is that shirk? The Quran says no. Not only that, taking someone as a deity, that's a major problem. The other one is more hidden. Sometimes even some Muslims get mixed up on this one. What is the Quranic definition of shirk and associating partners with Allah? This is Surah 6 and verse number 121. Allah says this, Inna shayateen la yuhuna ila awliyaihim. The shayateen, they give wahi, they can communicate with their awliya. لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ in order that they might dispute with you, in order that they might do mujadala. The shayateen give this. Now the Arabic of it, brothers and sisters. وَإِنْ عَتَعْتُمُوهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ If you obey them, you are mushrikeen. If you obey, I'm not taking the shayateen as God. Obedience in Islam. In order for me to be considered a muwahid, my ta'ah, my obedience, can only be for God and his awliya, those who he has put in charge. If I obey another human being in disobedience of the Creator, that's shirk. If you obey them, that's shirk. The Quran says. So, that was a little bit about the core message of our Prophet, salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, the next one is the strategy of our Prophet, the strategy of Nabi Lut, when he still had hope for guidance in his people. Now, this is a part that applies to a lot of us. We're trying to save as many people as we can. We still have hope. People that can still be guided. What's our responsibility? We don't want to be stern where we're not supposed to be stern. To write somebody off and not give them a chance, to throw them away, throw them in the garbage. No, that's not our Islamic responsibility. I remember once a brother was at a restaurant. Two brothers went to a restaurant. So when they went to the restaurant, afterwards, then it was expected, it was customary that you would give a tip. You got good service, you would give a tip. And so then one of the brothers, he turned to the other and he said, why didn't you give the young lady a tip? She served us, you didn't give her a tip. So that brother turned to the first brother. He said, be stern with the kafirin. Is that the Islamic approach? Giving a tip that would punish them? No. If somebody is, we still have hope. That's not our approach. That's not our approach. We're supposed to show kindness. Let's look at the verses of the Quran. So first of all, Nabi Lut put in the work. Imam Bakr told us 30 years, blood, sweat, and tears. He tried to draw people and save people. The Quran now. So I'm going to quote you several verses. Again, these conversations, the strategy of Nabi Lut with his people, how he tried to save them, are mentioned in many of the verses of the Holy Quran. I can't give you all of those verses. I'm going to start from Surah Shu'ara. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Maybe I'm too excited. So we'll start with Surah Shu'ara. And then after that, some of the other verses, if I get a chance. And then after that, a little bit, if Allah gives tawfiq, about what was his strategy when he saw that, no, these people are militant. They want to impose. So first, this is Surah Shu'ara. So 26, verse number 161, and I'm going to quote several verses from here. Each one of the verses of the Quran are important. You and I are trying to draw those lessons out of these verses. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ لُوت أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. When their brother Lut, Nabi Lut in the Quran, their brother, Allah has sent him as a rahmah. He's supposed to save people. When their brother Lut said to them, what did he say? أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Should you not fear God? Isn't it that time to be God-weary? To do what Allah says? He continued, Nabi Lut, so one part he reminds them of God, Islamic responsibility, what does God want? Next one, he also is firm. He's not going to change the deen. He's not going to try and draw them in by not mentioning part of Islam. First I'll trick you, then you come into Islam, and then I'll get you. No, what does he say? Inni lakum rasulun amin. Truly, definitely, I am a Rasul to you, but I am Amin. I'm trustworthy. I'm not going to mince words. I'm not going to change the deen. He continues. He explains again. Fattaqullah wa ati'un. Be wary of God. Obey me. I'm your wali. He continues. Wa ma as'alukum alayhi min ajr in ajri illa ala rabbil alameen. I'm not getting anything out of this. Whatever I'm telling you, it's my reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't have an angle. Whatever I'm sharing with you is for you. My ajr is with Allah. And after that, he was frank. This is very important for us. The idea that when we're trying to save people, we're frank and honest about the Islamic position. Let's listen to the next part. Atatuna dhukrana minal alameen. Do you come to men? Out of all the people in the world, you're the first to do this innovation, this bid'ah. So Nabi Lut, he starts as a brother. I'm trustworthy. I'm Amin. I'm not going to mince words. I'm going to be frank. And this is a sin. And this is a sin. Do you come to men? You're the first people in the world to do this terrible sin. So now those practical lessons, inshallah, let's see how much of this we can cover before my time is up. So brothers and sisters, the first lesson for us to keep in mind, when we're talking to Muslims or non-Muslims, those who are struggling, those who are not struggling, don't mince words, be Rasul who is Amin, like our Prophet. Islam as is attractive. You and I don't have to fix Islam. Tell it how it is. God's religion coincides with the fitrah. People are listening to you with the heart of the fitrah, even if the initial reaction is different. Islam is attractive. Don't worry about how attractive Islam is. Remember that story that we have from Amirul Mu'mineen, that they had prepared, Talha and Zubair, had prepared someone to go over, and he was going to negotiate with Amirul Mu'mineen. So they sent, obviously, one of their toughest guys to go over and negotiate with Ali. But you know what? They said, let's mentally prepare him so he doesn't get dragged off by Ali. Ali's not able to bring him to his side. So they came. They said, we know this Ali. Ali is well known for being a soothsayer. He's known for sorcery and magic. Ali has bigger claims than anybody.
Ali has bigger claims than anybody. Ali has tricks that he uses when he tries to fool people. Ali's going to try to talk to you in private. Don't let Ali talk to you in private. Ali will offer you food. That's how he tricks people. They said, we're going to give you a verse of Quran so you can recite this verse. You can be protected. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And also recite this verse so Ali can't get you. So this guy is like, who is this Ali? They said, don't even look into the eyes of Ali. They're so worried. They know if somebody looks even once into the eyes of Ali, what will happen? So this poor guy comes in, and he's now in the presence of Ali, and he's reciting his verse of Quran. As soon as he comes into his presence, Ali starts laughing. He says, I have a message for you. Ali says, that's fine. Come over here. Why don't you sit down? He says, no, I'm good where I am. I have the message. He said, why don't you have some food? Qambar, our guest, some food for us. I don't need... He said, oh, did Zubair tell you to refuse everything I give you? He said, yes. He said, did Zubair give you an ayah to recite? Now I'm stuck. He said, yes. What's the ayah? They started reciting the ayah. The guy is so nervous, he's stripping over the ayah. Ali knows the ayah. How can I? He recites it till he says it 70 times. He says, are you calm now? He said, I'm calm. He said, what's your message? He delivers the message. Then Ali gives a harsh message. You tell Taha and Zubair, now get out of here. The guy said, no, I'm not going anywhere, Ali. I don't want to go back to Taha and Zubair unless you make dua that I return. One meeting with Ali, when Ali is harsh and strong about his position. The guy said, I'm not going anywhere unless you make dua, I come back. And Ali did. And he later became shaheed with Ali. His name is Khidash. So the message of Islam is strong, and it's important for us not to mince words and not to change anything if we want to bring people back. This was very important, very strategic. There is never a justification for sin. We can never let anybody feel that there's a justification. There's a reason why I'm doing something God has forbidden, and it's okay. And you as a Muslim say, yeah, it's okay. There's never that justification. Once this, unfortunately, it was a Muslim brother. He was a drug dealer, unfortunately. So the Muslim brother was a drug dealer. So the other guy came over to him, and he said, bro, you're not supposed to be selling drugs. That's haram. Why are you selling drugs? And he was like, you see what the white man's got me doing? Instead of going over it, there's no justification for me doing haram. The Ahlul Bayt are very, if someone wants to escape, if you and I want to offer assistance, the Imams have taught us, it's from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. He says, Wallah, he swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La yanju min adh-dhanb illa man aqarra bih. No one will ever escape from a sin illa man aqarra bih, except for that person who admits it's a sin. What Islam says is this: I'm struggling, I have an issue, Islam is right. Brothers and sisters, don't take away the will to resist. If you want to help somebody, Muslim or non-Muslim, our position on this issue is this: you come from a brotherly place, I have concern, but Islam's position is this. That guilt will help the person. The hadith of Ahlul Bayt are very clear on this also. The Imam says this. So you and I have to give people hope. Man sarrathu hasanato. That person who is pleased when they do a good deed. Wasa'athu sayyi'atu. And when they commit a sin, then they are saddened by that. They grieve over that. They don't like the idea. They're struggling. They might still be stuck. But they're fighting, they hate it, they're not justifying it. This person, fahuwa mu'min, this is a believer. There's hope for this person. This person can make it. So you and I, our job is to give hope, not to tell people that they've been written off. That's not the ayat of the Quran, that's not the stance that we take. There's other verses of the Quran, again, that talk about this issue, the continuation of the conversation with the Prophet as he's trying to save people. One of the things he talks about is how this is a threat to the human race. He says this. He says, أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ وَتَقْتَعُونَ السَّبِيلَ. You're going to men, you're coming to men in lust, and you're cutting off the sabil, the way. Human beings are supposed to continue on the face of the earth. Marriage, brothers and sisters, is the bedrock for civilization. Being a wife and a mother is a full-time job. That's why in Islam, a wife has zero financial responsibility, because it's a job. We need families. We need fathers. We need mothers. What about test tube babies? You and I, and this is something you and I have seen. What are orphanages like? What's foster care like? Why do they bring Muslim immigrants? They know Muslims still have children. Other people, they're paying, trying to give incentives, just have kids. Even zina is threatening civilization. Marriage, how important is marriage? How terrible is this sin? So now, the last part, if I have time, is what about when Nabi Lut saw that they were militant? Because you and I have covered these verses. They told the Prophet to bring it on. Bring adab of Allah. Is it the case as a Muslim, as a concerned youth in the community, as someone who's working with people, that you and I are always rahmatan lil alameen? What about when somebody's militant? When they're going to break the community, they're coming out with it. They're going to break the norms, the shyness that's already there. They're going to be that symbol. When it comes to somebody being militant, our responsibility is very different. You've heard the story of Shahid Ibrahim Hadi, one of the brothers who was with Shahid Ibrahim Hadi, and later he becomes a Hausa student because of Shahid Ibrahim Hadi. He becomes an Islamic scholar. This man is saying, he's telling the story, he said, Shahid Ibrahim was friends with everybody, different ages, different occupations, even sometimes small children. He said, I've seen somebody who was in elementary riding up on his bike to the house of Shahid Ibrahim to talk to him for hours. The guy was going through some family issues, and Ibrahim gave him that time, and he spoke to him, a friend with everybody. Even people were struggling, Ibrahim would be their friend. But the scholar says this. He said there were times where Ibrahim would end his friendship. If he saw that there was no room for guidance, because everything he was doing was to guide, to bring people to Allah. If he saw that there's no room for guidance, the person's militant. They want to bring other people that way. His stance would change. He would cut people off. Remember, some are advancing an agenda. Their weapon is friendship. In other communities, they've used seduction after friendship. You and I have to be aware of these realities. Our strategy changes when that. So why is it our strategy changes? Again, the ayat of the Quran. This is Surah 53 and verse number 29. 53:29, Allah tells Rasulullah, who's rahmatan lil alameen. What does he tell Rasulullah? Fa'a'rid amman tawalla an dhikrina. You Prophet, you're the best of creation. You're so merciful. Bi rahmatin min Allah linta lahum. You're so kind. I, God, tell you, turn away from those who have turned away from our reminder. وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Once it's clear that the person only wants hayata dunya, no, your responsibility is different. You and I have to be careful about being friends. We have verses of the Quran that people who later end up in Jahannam, in hell, they explain why it is they ended up in Jahannam. 25, verse number 28. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Why is it? Oh God, I took this person as a friend. And with friendship, I went to Jahannam. A true friend, brothers and sisters, is someone who's going to, if I see a friend making a mistake, I'll tell the friend, I'll explain to the friend. If the friend is going to be militant, we're not friends anymore. I'm going to end this with this, a quote from Imam Hussein. Some people get intimidated by the strength of the LGBT community. They see them as that marhab that they've sent to take on the Islamic community. Some people get intimidated by numbers. This story is about Imam Hussein. Abdullah bin Umar, who's the son of a famous Sahabi, the son of the second Khalifa, he comes and he meets Imam Hussein in Mecca. When he meets Imam Hussein in Mecca, he's overwhelmed by the numbers. This is what he tells. He says, let's go back to Medina. I'm not even sure if he is maybe saying this on behalf of the Khalifa. I'm not sure. He says, let's go back to Medina. Let's make peace with these people. He says, even if you don't want to make bay'ah, you'll be left alone. He says, you know what? Who knows? Maybe Yazid's not going to even live very long. Allah will take care of him for you. What did Hussein say? Qala al-Hussein alayhi salam, uffin li hadhal kalam. Shame on those words. I'm a principled person. Not when... So as Muslims, we're very much principled on our stances. Assalamu